之内。
Hi, family. My name is Janae, and I'm an addict. I'd like to thank God for just being clean one more day. I need to say I was looking forward to doing this workshop because I was really looking forward to sharing with Ron. So I've been looking forward to getting here, you know, and being a part of this particular workshop. And I also need to say that if it wasn't for sponsorship, I do not know if I'd be able to stand here today. You know, to qualify myself, the last 6 to 9 months of my addiction, I used against my will. You know, I didn't like what I was doing, didn't like the things that was happening, and I did not have the ability to stay stopped. You know, I was court ordered to be here. I came here real angry, real rebellious, real defiant, didn't want to stay. And because I didn't believe I was an addict, I didn't think I needed no sponsor. I wasn't going to do no step work because there really wasn't nothing wrong with me. You know, as soon as I was going to stop getting those slip signs, I was going to roll up out of here. I didn't need to stay here. You know, my idea of an addict was somebody prostituting and shooting dope. That's not what I was doing. You know, but I stayed around here because of the court slips. And, you know, they were suggesting that people get sponsors. So because I was hanging out with y'all, I figured I'd do what y'all was doing. You know, so I got some sponsors. They was real cute girls. They dressed real nice, had nice cars. I don't know where the hell none of them women at today. You know, my clean date is December 30th, 1989. I haven't found it necessary to use since I've been here. And I need to say that even though I haven't found it necessary to use, there are times that I want an out. I get tired of this stuff called life on life's terms. But I've gotten to a point in my recovery where it's kind of like better being here than it was out there. You know, so I stick and stay no matter what. You know, and I've had two sponsors that I've worked a cycle of steps with, or that I've done step work since I've been here. The first lady was a white woman from Pittsburgh. Talked kind of funny. She shot dope. We have a lot in common, you know. But she was one of the most peaceful people I had ever met in my life. I asked if she would sponsor me. She said, "Janae, sure, I'll sponsor you. It's going to take some work on your part." Because I ain't need to do a lot of work, I ain't need to call her a lot, you know. So I would call in the middle of the day and say things like, "Hey, this is Janae, I'm checking in." You know, and I'd call at night and I'd tell her what y'all was talking about in meetings, what y'all was doing, what y'all was weighing, who was jumping in and out of people's cars, you know, because I didn't know how to talk about me. And because I really didn't think that I needed a sponsor, you know, I wasn't really willing to share too much intimate stuff with that lady, you know, because I came here thinking that, you know, my business was my business and I wasn't telling it to nobody. You know, and what happened for me was after being here for 3 years, life on life's terms showed up and I didn't have a lot of coping skills. You know, and I had already made a decision somewhere along the line that I liked staying here with y'all because I had already stopped getting a court slip signed. You know, and I liked the things that y'all was doing and I hadn't caught another charge. Now, I don't know about nobody else, but somebody like me that was in and out a lot, that was a big deal, you know. So I was living in an area at the time called Langley Park. TikTok was to my left and crack was to my right, and every day when I left home I had to make a choice, you know, and what I was really looking for was an excuse not to come back to Narcotics Anonymous. I couldn't believe that I was here with y'all people. You know, how did my life get to this? You know, I wasn't feeling a whole lot better, and they was talking about, you know, you do the steps will make you feel better, get a sponsor, and I had a sponsor, and shit wasn't no better, you know, so, I called that white lady from Pittsburgh, and I told her that I didn't think I was coming to any more NA meetings. I was kind of tired of hearing y'all say the same shit over and over again. You know, my life hadn't got no better. I wasn't feeling no better. And what I was doing really was blaming people, places, and things one more time for my situation. You know, because when I first got clean, they did used to say stuff like, "You're only going to get out of this program what you put into it." I hadn't put a lot into it, but I was expecting a lot. I wanted to feel better, you know. You know, so I sniveled, snotted, and cried on that phone with that woman for about a half hour. I was looking for a reason not to have to come back. And she said to me real quietly, she said, "Janae, you got two choices. You're either going to grow or go." And she hung up the phone. I thought to myself, what kind of shit is this? You know, I knew this damn program wasn't no good, you know. But I was sitting on the side of my bed, and it dawned on me. I knew what my story was, that if I went to TikTok to get a bottle of rum, it was going to be a matter of hours before I was in somebody's crack house at the bottom of the hill. And my story tells me I'll go somewhere for a minute. It might be a week before I get back home. So what I did was I called that white woman back and I told her I thought I was ready. You know, and the topic is sponsorship is the heartbeat of the program. I was thinking about that this morning, and you know, the heartbeat is what it takes to live. You know, so if my heart is not beating, more than likely I'm not going to stick around long. You know, so and what that tells me is that it's vital that I have somebody guide me through this process, because I showed up here real angry, real rebellious. Inside there was a little girl that was scared to death, frightened, wanted to learn how to live, and didn't have the courage to ask. So thank God for sponsorship. Because if it had not been for that white woman from Pittsburgh that I didn't have anything in common with, I don't know if I'd be here today. You know, she loved me, she nurtured me, and she guided me, and she encouraged me. And she kept telling me, Jeanette, you've got to keep going forward. You know, because I wanted to give up a lot of times. You know, what that white woman did was she introduced me to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. The steps introduced me to me, and that's when my journey started. You know, and I often share about how blessed I am to have had that woman placed in my life at the time. You know, she would often remind me of who I was. You know, now I need to say that through my first cycle of steps, you know, because they talked about step work was going to make you feel better in this program. You know, well, after I did my first step with this woman, you know, I wrote it out, and we had that beautiful step working guide that we have now. And I'm kind of grateful that it wasn't out back then, because I don't know if I could have handled some of the stuff that's in that step study guide. I know that, you know, ain't nothing out of order that when I got here didn't exist. You know, but after doing my first step with that woman and writing out a lot of the stuff or answering a lot of those questions, I felt like a piece of shit. You know, I could not believe that the person in my family most likely to succeed had come to that. You know, so all of that stuff that it talks about in the basic text, the shame, the guilt, the embarrassment, the loss of control, the dereliction, that's how I felt. You know, I don't know when I crossed the line from social using to active addiction. I don't know when it started being a chore every day to get high. You know, the degradation, the lying, you know. And my thought was, well, you know, they told me the steps was going to make me feel good. If this is what the first step makes me feel, fuck this program. There was no point in me staying here. I was already feeling bad. Y'all told me that the steps was going to make me feel better. Y'all lied one more time. And what my first sponsor told me, she said, Janae, it's a good thing that you feel that way. She said, because should you ever decide that you no longer need Narcotics Anonymous and you're not going to come back to these meetings, for an addict like you, it's not a matter of if you'll use, it's simply a matter of when. She said, the if is if you're fortunate enough to make it back here, because some folks don't. You have to start this process all over again. They're not feeling real good about it. You know, I had one of those sponsors that she kind of tough loved me, but she was kind of delicate, you know. She would say what she meant and meant what she said, and she'd hang up the phone. You know, it wasn't open for discussion. There wasn't a whole lot of debating, you know. And I know today that I got just what I needed, because if I could have manipulated a conversation, because I was good at telling lies and twisting shit up, you know, if she'd have stayed on the phone long enough for me to become a victim, I'd have twisted some stuff around to make it seem like it was somebody else's fault one more time. You know, but a lot of times my sponsor would ask me, because I was talking about y'all still. You know, I was telling her all y'all business, all of it. I don't care what you shared in the meeting. I was taking it back to my sponsor. And don't let somebody out the meeting disagree with what you shared, because I was telling her that too. You know, and every now and then she would ask me things like, what that's got to do with you? How does that apply to your life? You know, and I'd tell her that y'all was lying, and she would tell me if they was lying, that was their business. What can you use from the lie? She said, if you can't use it today, put it on the shelf for later. You know, she was one of those spiritual practice and principle people, and I wasn't there. You know, I wanted to gossip. You know, I wanted to do things that was totally contrary to Narcotics Anonymous. And she didn't beat me up. But every now and then, she would just guide me back to where I needed to be, you know. So somewhere along the line, I lost the ability to be defiant with her, you know. And I started to trust in this lady. You know, and the reason why I was starting to trust was because I was kind of scared. I didn't want to go back to where I came from because when I first got clean, they used to say, if you do not remember your last drink of drug, perhaps it wasn't your last. Change you must or die you will, and the same person will use again. You know, so we went on and proceeded in the step work. We did the second step, you know, and we was working on the third step, and I was kind of scared, you know, because let me share this. And my sponsor, thank God for guidance, you know, because I had a problem with that word sanity. I was not crazy. You know, now, I had been told a lot of things about myself as a child. You know, so to get to Narcotics Anonymous and then to have y'all try to tell me the same shit, I wasn't open to that. You know, sanity. That means that something's wrong with you. You know, so my sponsor said, well, let's focus on the word restoration. Because in order for anything to be restored, it had to be a little bit of something there in the first place. You know, so I started believing or buying into the fact that I wasn't as crazy as I had been told for a long time. It wasn't a whole lot really wrong with me. I had simply been detoured somewhere along the way. And I started to believe the shit that y'all said. So for me, the second step was y'all and my sponsor. You know, I didn't always believe what y'all was saying, but y'all was still here. You know, y'all wasn't using. You know, so you said. You know, y'all was coming and sharing your experiences. Y'all was going through some things, you know. And because I was feeling so hopeless after my first step, I needed something to believe in other than myself. You know, I needed to believe that if I stuck around, that just like y'all said things was happening for y'all, it was going to happen for me. You know, so I was going home and I was sharing with my sponsor. Now, I need to tell y'all that at the time, I had a whole lot of shit going on with me that I wasn't telling too many people. You know, because I came in here thinking that my business was my business. I couldn't understand how y'all was in here just telling everything. You know, and I do need to report that 17 and a half years later, the thing that keeps me clean is telling my business. You know, and I share that for somebody that's sitting here holding on to secrets and some shit you don't want to tell nobody, you need to tell somebody. And you need to find somebody that you can trust. And I know that that white woman from Pittsburgh was a lady that God put in my life for me to trust, because in the end, she got it all. You know, so I was going to meetings and I was listening to y'all and I was starting to believe that things was getting better. You know, I was communicating with my sponsor and I was kind of feeling better, you know, not feeling good, but I was feeling better. I hadn't caught a charge. Some other things was happening in my life that was kind of positive. Somebody finally gave me a job, you know, because I'm a 3-time convicted felon. It's hard to get a job, you know, so that gave me a little bit more hope. And it was a government job, too. I was really on that shit. I had a government job. You know, but things were starting to get a little bit better in my life, so I was actually progressing anyway. And my sponsor used to always say to me that if it ain't like it was yesterday, it's already better today. You know, and I didn't understand that for a long time. You know, and I know today that it ain't like it was yesterday was hanging in crack houses, walking the streets all hours of the night. The fear of being on a job and somebody tapping you on your shoulder and pulling you in the office, or your record came back, you can't stay, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. So I was starting to have a little bit of faith in not only y'all, but myself, because things were starting to get a little better, you know, but I was having a problem with that third step. Now, my sponsor was one of these real spiritual people. Nothing bothered her. We're going to turn everything over to God. You know, God's going to fix it. Just pray to the God of your understanding, you know, and I didn't even know who the hell the God of her understanding was. You know, but I knew what mine was, and it was the God that my grandmother gave me when I was a child. My grandmother used to always say to me, Janae, God going to punish you. You know, because I was, now I'm owning up to my part, because I was always doing something I ain't had no business doing. They said, don't go up the hill. I ran up the hill. They said, don't go around that house. I stayed in the house. You know, so I was always doing opposite of what I was told to do, because I've always been a rebellious and defiant child, you know, so my grandmother was saying things to me like, Janae, God going to punish you. So by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I had been over-punished as far as I was concerned. So y'all were talking about this loving and caring God, and I didn't have no evidence of that God. You know, my story told me that God was a punishing God, that I had been punished just like my grandmother told me I was going to be. You know, so I had all of this evidence of punishment in my life, and I was kind of scared because I really wanted what the program had to offer, and I knew that if I didn't find this loving and caring God, I wasn't going to be able to go on. And we, you know, I was telling my sponsor about all of the stuff that I had gone through and why it was hard for me to believe in God, and she would always say, Janae, just look back on your story. You know, and it was kind of confusing because I had already told her what my damn story was, so why does she want me to keep looking back? I had told her about all the punishment, all the abuse, all the stuff that I went through, and she'd be just as nice. Okay, Janae, now I want you to look back on this story. And she'd hang up the phone. You know, it's funny now. And I'm telling y'all that sometimes when she hung that phone up, you know, I was ready to fire her ass. I was ready to let her go. She don't understand this goddamn program. She ain't got that much time. You know, all kinds of shit I was saying to myself. You know, but I was in a Friday night meeting, and it was my home group at the time, and I was kind of scared. I was really scared because at this time I was liking Narcotics Anonymous. I was like hanging out with y'all people, and I was starting to like my life. It was getting a little bit better. Some positive things was happening. And, you know, people were saying, you know, if you don't do that fourth step, people use. You know, and I did not want to use. I knew my story. I did not want to use. And I was in the meeting that night, and I was sharing. And this guy named Frazier Bay took me out to meeting. He said, you know, Janae, you don't have to have your grandmother's God. Now, all along, people had tried to give me another God, but I could not understand the concept of borrowing a God that I didn't know a damn thing about. So he said to me, he said, you know, Janae, you do not have to have your grandmother's God. He said, if you could have a God of any choosing, what would you want him to be? And the first thing out of my mouth was he had to be forgiving. He said, well, what else do you want your God to be? I said he had to be loving. He had to be loyal. He had to be faithful. He had to be caring, and he had to be kind. He said, well, from this point on, let that be the God you serve. That shit blew my mind, because for 18 months I struggled with trying to find the God that I had come in here with. And people were saying things, you know, everybody got their own God in these rooms. You know, my sponsor would always say, Janae, look back on your story. You know, so that Friday night I was happy as hell going home. I couldn't wait to get home and tell my sponsor I had found God in a Friday night NA meeting, and I was on my way, goddammit. It was getting ready to get better now. Shit. Look, I call it that. Now, first, I did tell all the shit y'all talked about in the meeting. You know, you know, that was always the thing. You know, somebody shared this and somebody shared that, and then I got excited. I said, I'm going to tell you about the God I found. And I told her all the wonderful things that the God told me that my God could be. And she said, Janae, I want you to look back on your story. And she hung up the phone again. Now, she was supposed to be excited for me. You know, come on, goddammit, you told me to find him. I don't found him, now get excited with me. She said, Janae, now look back on your story. And she hung up the phone again. I said to myself, what kind of shit is this? This woman don't know about the damn program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, so I sat on the side of my bed, and what I got in touch with was all the crack houses that I got out of just in the nick of time. What I got in touch with was all of those alleys that I made it out of just in the nick of time. All those parking lots that I ran across after giving people fake $20 bills. You know, all of this shit that I took credit for during my active addiction. Because I was the slick one. I was the cool one. I was the one that made the happenings possible. God ain't had nothing to do with that. You know, so what I thought that night was, if God watched over me, when I left home every day with the intent of causing somebody a degree of harm, because somebody was going to be a victim before the day was over, sometimes more than one, what I got in touch with, if God watched over me and protected me, and he loved me long enough for me to get here, for somebody else to help me, why couldn't I trust in him now? Why couldn't I believe that if he brought me here and put me in the arms of somebody who would love me and encourage me, what did I have to lose? You know, so I called her back, and she asked me, do you understand the God that I've been trying to introduce you to? You know, because the literature says, you know, my sponsor was also one of them literature quoting people. You know, early on, I wasn't reading a whole lot of damn literature, but just coming to meetings and drinking a coffee. You know, she said, the third step talks about our concept of God comes not from dogma, but from what we believe and what works for us. Now, when you knew and you kind of confused, I didn't understand what that shit. I didn't even know what the word dogma meant. You know, but my sponsor was always reading stuff. And because, you know, when you're on the phone and you're really trying to have your way, you're trying to get her to understand where you at, you're not trying to understand where she's sending you. You know, I wasn't listening to half the shit that she was saying. I would be like, okay, yeah, but. You know, yeah, I understand, but. You know, and she, you know, she just didn't put up with the buts. You know, no, it's not a butt behind this. My sponsor told me once, behind the butt is bullshit. Listen to what I'm saying. You know, so she was a loving sponsor, but she made me learn how to listen to her because she talked real low. She wasn't real loud. She wasn't real boisterous. She said, Janae, do you understand the God that I've been trying to get you to understand all of this time? And at the time, I didn't really understand, but I agreed because I had this God that I found in the Friday night meeting. You know, but what I know today is that that God that she was trying to get me to see was the same God that I came in the doors of Narcotics Anonymous with. Just because I didn't understand how I got here, and I didn't understand him before I got here, don't mean that he wasn't with me. You know, so what she helped me understand was that it was okay for me to trust in him. And she gave me the evidence of why I needed to. The fact that you got here is all the trust you need. The fact that he allowed you to, even though you got locked up and your journey here wasn't that pleasant, you know, he got you here. You know, that wasn't none of your doing. You know, because I like to take credit for the good stuff that happens in my life. And my sponsor told me you can't take credit for the good and you can't take blame for the faults. You know, you don't get to pick and choose how you're going to use God in your life, Janae. You know, you can't bargain with him. You can't plot with him and scheme with him. You trust him from this point on. You know, and then you give him all you got because you know that everything that he's given you has already been better than you could have asked for. You know, because in all reality, I could have still been stuck in a crack house. A lot of my friends was. You know, I could have still been locked up. A lot of my friends was. You know, and I often share that I don't believe God loves me any more than he loves anybody else. And I don't believe he loves anybody else any more than he loves me. So if I watch God work in the lives of other addicts, you know, because I still get a little bit of hopelessness in me. Things ain't going fast enough. The boxes ain't got the big pretty bows. The blessings ain't blatant, you know. That, you know, I need to see my shit. I need to see the evidence that this is a blessing. That ain't the way God works. You know, so a lot of times I'm wondering about this damn God I found anyway. You know, I'm questioning him now because y'all seem like y'all getting this shit. Y'all getting it real fast and mine's taking a little too slow. You know, my God, my sponsor would say things like, ain't that the same God that got you here? He got them here. You know, if he blessed them, don't you think he'll bless you? You got to wait your turn. You know, I done waited long enough. I've been here for a while. These damn newcomers come in here and pick up 90-day key tags with cars. How long I got to wait? This shit ain't right. And Judy would say to me, well, Janae, if you really want to be able to, in a position where you can appreciate the blessings God gave you, you really got to find some joy in the ones he gave somebody else. I understand that shit now. But when you want a motherfucking car, you'll take a used car. And people riding around here with brand new cars and you feel like you done some work. I ain't no understanding of that shit. So it was hard for me in the beginning to appreciate other people's blessings. You know, so Judy would share little things with me like how she was happy for me that certain things happened. She was happy for me that I got this or I got that. She told me once, she said, I'm even happy that you got here. What's that got to do with me wanting a car? What's your joy got to do with me wanting a fucking car? I'm tired of catching the bus. It's going to get cold outside. You know? And she would say things to me like, the fact that, because I was, I'll tell y'all, I was crazy as shit. I was living in an apartment complex where as soon as I come out my building, the bus stop is right there. And she picked me up one day. We was going somewhere, and she picked me up. And we were sitting there on the side street. And she, I said, come on, let's go. She said, I just want you to realize some things while we're sitting here. You know, I'm sitting there. I'm watching the traffic go by. And I'm trying to figure out, why is we sitting here? Let's go. She sat there a little bit longer, and then the bus finally came. She said, you see where that bus is? I said, yeah. What's that got to do with anything? She said, Janae, it's a blessing that it's right in front of your house. And it never dawned on me that, you know, that was a blessing. So my sponsor would have to point things out to me. She would have to make it evident, you know, because I don't see things the way they are sometimes. Because I'm focused on what I want right now, immediately, you know. I thank God for that lady, because what she did was she loved me. She nurtured me. She gave me the foundation that I needed in order to stay here. You know, I've encountered some things, you know. I've had points in my recovery where I have been so tired of dealing that I have just wanted to give up. My sponsor would say things like, look at all the strength you have to gain on. Look at your own story. Look at the things that have happened for you since you've been here. I dare you want to give up now. You know, I'm grateful that when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, there were the people that were here when I got here. They loved me. They nurtured me, you know. And in the beginning, they was giving people sponsors. Ain't nobody give me mine. I had the right to pick and choose mine. But I'm grateful because that lady showed me how to live in Narcotics Anonymous. She gave me the coping skills to deal with the stuff called life on life's terms every day. She encouraged me in the times when I was disappointed. I went on to do my fourth and fifth step with her in the unconditional love and the empathy and the compassion that she had gave me all I needed to fulfill the rest of the program, you know. So if you're new here, because, you know, we sponsor this sometimes, you know, it's okay to take your time picking a sponsor. You know, you ain't got to pick somebody because somebody think that's who you need, you know, because only you can determine how spiritual that relationship is going to be. But it's going to take some work on your part, you know, but you need somebody to tell all them secrets to, you know, because that lady from Pittsburgh got it all. She got all of the stuff that I thought I would take to my grave, you know. She identified with a lot of my pains. You know, the literature said we show up in our desperation. You know, so I wasn't happy, joyous, and free when I got here. You know, she loved me. She nurtured me. She gave me the reason to smile again. She told me once that I could stop smiling in front of my tears. It's okay to hurt in here. But you have to let somebody know you hurt. Because if you don't tell nobody that you hurt, you don't have an opportunity to heal. You cannot walk. My sponsor was, she told me once, she said, Janae, all the relationships you had up until this point are a goddamn lie because you never had the ability to be you. What kind of shit is that to tell somebody? You know, so she loved me enough to tell me the truth about me. She told me that she was not going to love me to death in this program. She would love me to life. You know, so a lot of the things that she told me, I wasn't always open to them. You know, I wasn't always willing to take her suggestions. You know, but I had all of this evidence of everything that I had done following her directions worked out just fine for me. It didn't always feel good. You know, I didn't always feel like calling her, telling her everything. You know, some stuff I wanted to keep. I had a network. I could share some shit with them. But they was just as sick as I was most of the time. They were sick. I was sick. You know, so she would tell me every now and then. She'd pull me, you know, because I strayed to the left. You know, she'd pull me back in. You know, so if you're new here and you're struggling with that sponsorship piece, you know, get a sponsor. You know, it makes it clear if it's the heartbeat of the program, you can't live without one. You need somebody to guide you. Because where we've been, you know, let's just say we've been thrashing about for a long time. We need somebody to share that shit with to free us. You know, somebody that'll help us heal. Somebody that'll show us our wrongs in black and white. You know, I'm an addict named Janae. I'm grateful for sponsorship. You know, I have an opportunity to sponsor some ladies today. But this is an awesome program. It's awesome. You know, find somebody that you can trust. You know, and if the first one don't work, because the literature say what was good at one point in time may no longer be, you ain't got to find, but you can move the hell on. You ain't got to stay somewhere where you're not comfortable. You know, find somebody with some integrity. Somebody that you know that when you tell that stuff to, that's where it's going to stay. You know, because it's very important that you trust your sponsor. You know, I had one that I trust. You know, I gave her everything, and none of it ever came back by the lips of somebody else. That's heavy. You know, because I told her some shit that I was going to take to my grave. I never heard anything come back that I told that lady unless I was the one that told it. You know, so find somebody that you can trust, somebody who's incorporating the principles of integrity and honesty in their life. You know, because it's vital that you get a sponsor that you can trust. You know, so I'm an addict named Janae. You know, that's my experience with sponsorship, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Janae. Our second speaker is Ron H.
Hey, I'm hey, I'm at it, girl, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Woo! All right. Look, I want to welcome anybody that's new to Narcotics Anonymous. I also want to welcome anybody that's relapsed. If you relapse and you just coming back to the fellowship, I want to say welcome. Welcome back. It's important to me that an addict feels welcome when they come to NA meetings. Right? Because somebody made me feel welcome over 12 years ago. And those acts of kindness, right, can make the difference whether somebody stays or goes. Right? And so, anyway, I'm have some fun. That's who I am. Right? So this topic is sponsorship is the heartbeat of our program. Right? And I want to read y'all something. Right? It works how and why. It's about how I learned how to carry this message, right? When I first got clean, me and my sponsor, we used to sit in front of the place that I was in and listen to speaker tapes. So I grew up in Narcotics Anonymous listening to speaker tapes, never seeing these people like Usman, like Khalees, like Jamil, the general, never seeing these people, but knowing their stories. And I used to sit in the car with my sponsor and tell him that, you know, look, I want to be a speaker. And my sponsor used to say, well, you got to stop smoking crack first, right? Because the first step to recovery is to stop using. But I'm telling you, I was always attracted to people's story because I knew I had one and I wanted to tell it, right? I wanted to tell, right? Even as a little boy, I used to tell on my sisters and brothers. Right? I did. I'm Louise's baby boy. I'm the baby, right? So, but when you're using... You come from them corners, you know, OCU, on the corner university. Don't tell shit. You know, you can't tell. You know, so it says in the 12th step, the ways in which we carry this message are as varied as our members. There are, however, some basic guidelines as a fellowship we have found to be helpful. First and foremost, we share our experience, strength, and hope. This means that we share our experience, not the theories we've heard from other sources. This also means that we share our own experience, not someone else's. That means don't be borrowing people's stories. I'll get to that, because I used to do that when I first got, you know, when I first got clean. Like, if you knew and you sharing, we know you lying your ass off. Don't get offended by what I say. I'm just telling you my experience now, because I was lying my ass off when I first got clean. Not intentionally, but you don't know the difference between a lie and the truth to somebody tell you the truth. So I was lying because I ain't know it won't the truth. Because I had told myself these lies for so long. Like, because, you know, when you get to Narcotics Anonymous, the first thing we do is we give you a diagnosis. You an addict. But it takes a while for an addict to get some treatment. Right? The treatment is our 12 steps. So if you ain't got no treatment, but you've been diagnosed, that means you still listening to the disease. Right? So I was listening to our disease. It said it's not our job to tell someone seeking recovery where to work. So if you're a sponsor, if I'm sponsoring somebody, we don't tell people where to work, right? Who to live with. Can't tell people who to live with because you're a sponsor. People can live with whoever the hell they want to live with. They can stay with them as long as they want until the pain. So, yeah, pain will make your ass move out. Change addresses. All right. Can't say how to raise our children. Can't tell people how to raise their children, right? Because, you know, or anything else outside the realm of our experience with recovery. Someone we are trying to help may have these problems in these areas. We can help best not by managing that person's life, but by sharing our own experience in these areas, right? Developing a personal style for carrying the message rests on a simple requirement. We must be ourselves, right? So that's all I'm going to be, right? I'm going to just be myself. Because, you know, sharing is not a competitive sport. We don't have good NA speakers and bad NA speakers. Anybody who stands up in front of here that has the courage to bear their souls is a good-ass NA speaker. We are not in competition with each other, right? You know, sharing is not a competitive sport. You know, I used to think so now. That's why I'm telling you. I ain't telling you because I just made it up. I used to think so because I wanted to be a speaker, right? And, you know, I thought I was confused. You know how when you first get here, you're confused. And you need a sponsor because you need somebody to help you. Like what Janae was talking about, the stuff you hear in our meetings is confusing when you first get here because our perception of what the language in here is different. When you first, because they're saying things in here like, you know, they don't talk in the crack house like they talk in NA. Matter of fact, most people ain't fucking talking in crack house. They pointing and shit, right? So when you come here, the language, it's called the language of empathy, the language of love. It don't sound the same. Right? So you gotta get a sponsor. This is what I was told. I'm just telling you this is what I was told. Ron, you gotta get I didn't call my sponsor a sponsor. I called him that guy that I talked to. Because I was 30 years old when I got clean, right? My birthday is my clean date, September the 5th, 1994. And I was an addict who wore my hat backwards, right? Had my pants hanging down. And the Basic Text it talks about being fatally cool and terminally hip are symptoms of the disease of addiction. So I wouldn't say I was an addict. And I would not, when I asked somebody to be my sponsor, I would call him that guy. Because it was hard, and it's hard, my story is hard for a 30-year-old man to come to an understanding that he got to let another man tell him what to do. Especially for me, because I never had a daddy. So the program telling me I got to get a man, men stick with the men, and women stick with the women, and let another man tell me what to do when I never, for 30 years, never had a man tell me what to do. I was raised by my mother and my two aunts and my grandmother, the real golden girls. Right? So I get here only to find out in a four-step that I'm a man trapped in a, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I'm sensitive as hell. Look, I had so much stuff to tell. Right? And so I started listening to y'all stories, and in the beginning I lied, right? Cause I thought in Narcotics Anonymous you had to have one of them good ass stories in order to be a member, in order to fit in. I thought I had to have one of them penitentiary stories. You know how we share. You know. I've been in prison 5 times, and I done got, you know, 3, you know, shot dope for 30 years, and I woke up and out of nod, and I was in NA. And so I thought I had to have one of them stories. After doing 4 4-steps, I want to tell y'all, I do not have a felony. Right? I ain't shoot dope. I was scared to shoot dope. I tried. The old heads wouldn't let me shoot dope. They saved my life. Even in the street. Right? So I end up finding out that all I had to do was be myself. But how you want to be yourself when you hate yourself? Because early in recovery, I hated myself. Like, you know, a lot of stuff about me. Like, I like to laugh, like to joke. Janae said she was going to cry, and I was going to make y'all laugh. Because I do. I like to laugh. Didn't like to laugh in the beginning of recovery, because won't shit funny, right? But I laugh a lot now, because I can laugh at myself. Right? Like, I used to be ashamed of myself, because, like, we use words that ain't in our literature, like low self-esteem. Ain't in our literature. Talks about intense self-hatred. I hated myself. My head was too big. Right, I wouldn't even take off my hat one time. I had head issues. Any of you big head brothers got head issues? Right, I used to have head issues. You know, like, and I used to fight when I was growing up because people would point at my head and talk about how big my head. I was like, just don't touch it. Don't touch it. If you touch it, we're gonna fight. You can point, but don't touch it. Right, and so it don't look this big this way, but if you turn like this, it's kind of longer this way. Right, so I had a whole lot of issues that I needed to tell somebody about, right? And our Basic Text says that you would be amazed at the simplicity of the more experienced member, right? So I remember, like, I had so many things. I remember the first time I got a chance to share, you know, at somebody's celebration, and I had 9 months clean, and I asked that guy, and I said, God, what I supposed to say when you do this? He said, go up there and just tell, you know, old timer set you up. I want to tell you that. If you got a sponsor, your sponsor is always setting you up to get better. Shit don't gotta make sense. Right? It says in our Basic Text, you don't have to understand the program. All you gotta do is follow direction. Right? So you ain't gotta understand how this works. I'm a smart addict. Smart addicts have a hard time with the program. Right? And if you want to know if you are a smart addict too, this is how you find out. When somebody's talking to you, and before they finish their sentence, you say, I know, you a smart ass at it. Right? So my sponsor told me tell the worst thing that I think I ever did in my life, tell it at the podium. So I was sharing, and you know, in the first 5 minutes, you're trying to get the jitters off because you're a little nervous. I don't get nervous no more because I like telling my story because I like it. I don't know. But anyway, so I came up here and I told y'all, I said that, you know, the worst thing I've done ever using is I used to break in churches and steal air conditions. Know what y'all did? Just what you're doing now. Nothing. Because guess what? I realized over the years of sharing that when we in meetings and people are sharing, most self-centeredness is the core of our disease. So when someone's sharing, what we're really not, we hear them, but we're really thinking about ourselves and trying to relate. Well, did I ever break in a church and steal an air conditioner? And then you might say, no, I didn't do that. But you might say, well, I did some other shit that was just as worse. And so, because identification is what makes a person stay here, that you find out that you're just like us, that you're no different than us, right? So I used to, you know, I hear stuff in the meetings, and I used to run it past that guy, man, and I used to tell him stuff. And my first sponsor, man, look, I've had several sponsors in Narcotics Anonymous. Some people, God bless you if that's your story, you only had one, and you got an allegiance that no matter how painful it get in that relationship, you won't leave. But I had some experiences in sponsorship that I had to make choices to leave in order to grow. Right? For my first sponsor taught me the best thing you could ever teach a newcomer or another recovering addict. He taught me how not to use, no matter what happened to me. Because I had a 3-year-old son, and you know, when we first get clean, we think, I thought social acceptability equal recovery, and I wanted to go back and be a father to my son, and y'all would tell me shit in these meetings like, well, you know, look, first you need to learn how to stop getting high first, and then you can have a relationship with your son. You can be the father that you never could be if you was using. Don't go give your child hope that you're going to be there and you haven't done the work in the program. So y'all would tell me all of this stuff, and I would tell my sponsor on y'all. Right? And he would say, well, did you use? And I was like, no. He said, well, you're doing good. Right? I'm an addict who had 17 jobs in 1 year, and I would tell my sponsor, I want a job. He said, well, did you get high today? I was like, no. He was like, well, you're doing good. Right? Because sometimes we minimize staying clean, how good that is for an addict. We minimize that because we think that they should be working the program. And I heard an addict named Randy Q share at our convention last weekend that all flowers don't bloom at the same time. Right? We differ in degrees of sickness, so we will recover at different rates. Right? So I'm glad that addicts, old-timers, where I'm from, right, they gave me a break, man. I know we should put people on the steps as soon as they become willing to do steps, but I'm telling you, I'm glad that nobody immediately shoved the program right down my face as soon as I got here. They gave me a chance to see if I wanted to stay for myself, because you must come to an understanding of this program for yourself. Right? Your sponsor can guide you, but they can't give you what they got. Right? Unless you're willing to make the effort to get it. You got to get it for yourself. For real, man. And all. So I took some suggestions from my sponsor, and I like sponsorship and early recovery because you can blame everything on your sponsor. If you're a newcomer, I want to help y'all stay. Right? Anything you do, and you don't want to do it no more, like if you get in relationships and you want to get out of the relationship, just tell the person you're in a relationship, my sponsor said that I ain't ready to be in no relationship. Damn right. When you knew, you could blame every damn thing on your sponsor. It's the heartbeat of the program, yeah. So I blamed everything on my sponsor when I was new. If I ain't want to do it, I would say, my sponsor said I can't do that. Yeah, I got in a relationship when I had 11. So I'm a speedball through some of my story. I can go. You had to give me the 5 minutes. Let me know. I can go. But anyway, so I had this guy. You know, everybody. I don't tell newcomers don't get in relationships. I don't do that. I tell them, look, my experience is I didn't get in a relationship till I had a year clean. I met my wife when I had 11 months clean. She had 6 months clean. Y'all told me don't get in a relationship till I had a year clean. And I said, okay, I'm not going to get in a relationship till I had a year clean. But that wasn't the truth, because I was trying to get in a relationship, because when people get clean, after about 30 days, shit started working that wasn't working, and everybody want to do something. And if you doing something, out of here, you going to tell a newcomer, don't do nothing. And all they thinking is, shit, he getting something, I want something too. Right? My sponsor ain't never tell me don't like who I like. whoever you like, if you like, that's who you like. You got shit, you watch. If you stop using some days and shit, you're going to want to do some shit. Right? So my sponsor told me this. This is what he told me. He said, if you see somebody you like, we're going to do something different than what you was doing in active addiction. Right? He said, if you meet somebody, tell me, and what we're going to do is date. I said, date? What the fuck is dating? Where I come from, all you do is, I got $10, you want to do something. No offense, I'm just saying that. Right? So I ain't know how to date. I said, well, what you do on a date? He said, you got to talk to him. Talk to him. About what? What are you talking? He said, you got to hold their hands and shit like that. Holding hands. Because, you know, in our basic text, it says, I forgot how to go to work. I forgot. Our skills were reduced to animalistic. I forgot how to do all of those things, right? So my sponsor taught me how to date. This is what he taught me, too. So he taught me that if you meet a woman and you like her and you date her for 30 days, don't have sex with her because sex is a mind or mood altering experience. You don't have to like them because if it's good, you will keep coming back, even though it's painful, right? So you don't have to like them, right? So he said, don't have sex because addicts have a tendency of putting the cart before the horse. Right? We'll have sex with you and then say, what's your name? You know, we only, because we don't do last names, it ain't no way. So. But anyway, that's the most shit. It's an anonymous program. All right, so I met my first person I dated. My sponsor said, if they ask you for anything, you know, in your first 30 days of dating, they really don't like you. Because I was telling this guy, that every woman I ever met, because I'm a legend in my own mind. You know how when you first get here, you think you're a dope dealer, big time dope dealer. I did. I thought I was Scarface and Tony Montana. You know, I was a legend in my own mind, but I really wasn't a big time dope dealer. I was a crackhead holding dope waiting to use it. Right? So, I wasn't really no big time. You know, the first person I dated, my sponsor said, if she asked you something, ask you for anything, you gotta come and tell me, and then you gotta cut her loose because she really don't want you. You know, if you ever meet a woman or somebody in a relationship and they say they like you for the potential you have, that means they really don't give a fuck about who you are right now. They hope you change. Right? So this is the kind of sponsor I had. I'm telling you, man, I've had some great, great, great sponsors that gave me great information to make me the man that I am. Right? I'm telling you, so I met somebody, I dated them, I was like, look, I told my sponsor, man, I really, really like them, and the first woman I dated, she said, if you look, Ron, could you help me pay my electric bill? I said, I don't know. I gotta ask my sponsor. Where I'm from, they told me don't make major decisions without running it past somebody. The first person that I would, hey, look, I trusted one person. They say, find one person who believes in you. I ain't trust the group in early recovery. I trusted my sponsor, that guy. So I said, I got to ask my sponsor. My sponsor said, well, Ron, he said, she wants you to help her pay electric bill. I said, yeah. He said, well, ain't you in that treatment center? I said, what the hell that got to do with helping her pay her electric bill? I'm working now. I got a little $4, 25 cent an hour job. I think I'm rich as hell. I ain't got to smoke crack no more. I got a check for $340. I'm rich. I'm rich. Sponsor, I can help her. He said, but ain't you in the treatment center? I said, yeah. He said, do you have an electric bill? I said, no. And he said, well, how the hell you going to help somebody else pay their electric bill? You ain't even got one. Second girl I dated, she asked me, she said, could I help her pay her rent? I said, I don't know. I got to ask my sponsor. If you pay attention to all I'm saying is before you make decisions, run this shit past your sponsor. What is a major decision? Every goddamn thing is a major decision. Because we be trying to trick up, is this a major? Is this a minor? I can do this by myself. Hell no. Every decision is a major decision for a damn addict. If he ain't got no relationship with God, he ain't praying, he ain't meditating. Everything is a major decision, right? So I asked my sponsor, what time this workshop over? Okay. All right. I thought it was over 1 or 1:15. It's 1:15. It's at 1:15. I'm going to take these 15 minutes. I love you, boo. All right. So anyway. Don't worry. Anyway, so I asked my sponsor, I dated this girl. He said, well, look, Ron, he said, are you still at that treatment center? I said, yeah. I said, man, but what that got to do with I'm dating, man? I'm trying to date somebody. He said, you know, if you're in that treatment center, you homeless. I said, I'm not homeless. I live at the VA. He said, no, you homeless. I said, so I had to cut her loose. I cut her loose. Third person I dated asked me to help her son. I'm not, this ain't about, listen to it. The reason I'm saying this is because my sponsor was trying to teach me something, and old timers try to teach you something, and you don't learn it till after you learned it. Right? So what he was, so the third person asked me, well, Ron, can you help me buy my son some shoes? I was like, I don't know. I gotta ask my sponsor. You know, so I went to ask my sponsor. I said, man, look, all she asked me to do is help her son get some shoes. I like the little dude we playing. You know, I don't know, it might have been Atari at that time or some shit, right? So I tell my sponsor, he said, well, Ron, didn't you tell me you had a 3-year-old son? Because I forgot, I've been telling this guy some stuff. And sponsors remember the shit you tell them. And they hold you accountable. Ooh, accountability is a bad word for recovering addicts. You know, I'm not going to smoke. Then you see him smoking. I thought you weren't smoking, boo. Accountability. We don't like accountability. We get mad at people who hold us accountable. Sponsors hold you accountable because they remembering what you tell them. So I was like, look, yeah, man, you know I got a 3-year-old son, but what they got to do with me just helping her get her son some shoes? He said, well, have you bought your son some shoes? I said, damn, I'm going to help somebody else buy their son some shoes. I ain't even bought my son no shoes. I said, you know what? I fuck this dating shit. I don't even know how to do this. So I didn't get in a relationship for my first year of recovery. But I also want to tell you that, listen, unless you develop the two most important relationships in Narcotics Anonymous, recovery going to be painful. Painful. And the two most important relationships in Narcotics Anonymous is a relationship with yourself and a relationship with God. And the only way that an addict can do that is through the 12-step program. Right? And I'm telling you that I didn't stumble into Narcotics Anonymous brimming with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And even after I got here, it took me 2.5 years to surrender to the program. See, a lot of people want to share their stories and act like when we first got here, we was willing to do the program. I was willing to stay clean. I was willing to get an H&I commitment. I was willing to get a sponsor. I was willing to do a whole lot of things that people asked me, but I wasn't willing to do the program. You know why? Because the program is a set of principles that's written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. And I didn't believe. Listen, an addict will only do what he's come to believe. That's what our literature says. We tend to live what we believe. And I didn't believe that I needed to do the steps. So why should I? Right? Because I'm a smart addict. I couldn't figure out how they work. Right? I couldn't figure out, you know, I'm a write some stuff on a piece of paper, talk to another guy, and I'm a change. Do y'all know who I am? I'm crazy as hell. Right? So people around here, they love you until you can learn to love yourself. Right? And so they let me just keep coming back, and I'll tell you what, I've been to jail 3 times clean. 3 times clean. I've been to jail 1 time in active addiction. Maybe drugs is not my problem. So I got in a relationship, right? Got in a relationship. I still ain't done no step work. I'll tell you what, I was a mean, angry, nasty dude. Defective. Very, very defective. And I didn't know what my problem was. My problem was addiction, but I thought my problem was using drugs. And so when I got in a relationship, I didn't know that I was an addict, that I fall in love. If you give me some, right? If you do it to me twice, I love you. I get to tell you what to do. I didn't know that was one of my problems. I didn't know that I had control issues. I didn't know that. I didn't know that when I tried to control other people, places, and things, that my life became unmanageable. So I would fight people in early recovery. If you ain't call on me in meeting, I would throw chairs at people. So I know everybody liked them little nice NA stories and stuff, but mine won't like that. You know, after I got clean, I realized I was a sick person. Right, and you know, so some people was clean, sick and active addiction, but I got sicker when I stopped using, because guess what? I began to feel the pain of living without anything to replace it. That's the second step here. And it's only that pain that forces us to seek a power that's greater than ourselves. So it's the pain that forced me to do the program. Some people just say that they was willing. I wasn't willing. The third time I went to jail, because I used to kick her door in. She would tell me that she needed some space, and I would be like, you just had sex with me 2 days ago. Open the door. I was a stalker. If you laugh and you use a stalker too. Right? So I was a stalker, right? I fell in love immediately, and she had just got out of the 15, 16 year, 17 marriage, and she wasn't sure if she wanted to be committed in a relationship, but I was in love. I wanted to be committed. So, you know, I used to kick her door, and she would tell me, go home, and the disease would say, who that? She don't know who she fucking with, does she? The disease say, kick her door in. I'm stepless. I ain't worked no program yet. Right? I ain't calling my sponsor. If you read in our basic text, it says sometimes we lose all consciousness of calling the sponsor. Right? So I wouldn't call no sponsor when I get locked and loaded in this disease. And so I kicked her door in. She called the police on me because she's my wife in recovery. She got 12 years clean. And you know, when you mess with women in recovery or you deal with women in recovery, they got sponsors and sponsee sisters. And you know what they doing? They taking suggestions. And you know, when us men, when we fight women in recovery, you know what the suggestions from their sponsors and sponsee sisters is? Call the police on that motherfucker. No, so my wife was open for suggestions. So she called the police. I get locked up. I'm one of them smart addicts. I get out on my own reconnaissance. And then we get back in a relationship once I get out, because she crazy too. I ain't gonna tell her a story; she can tell it. You know, so we get back in a relationship. We go all along a little longer, and then we have major jarring experiences, right? You know, and then we break up, and she don't want to let me come in no more, and I should be like, let me in, let me in, or you know. She wouldn't, and I walk away in a disease, say, kick the door in. Then you start faced with a dilemma, and you contemplate with the disease. Talking about, you know, if you kick the door in, you go to jail. The disease say, fuck it, I'm with you. See, we always talk about how we act like that when we was using. Right? Not clean. So I said, all right, I kick the door in. So she called the police again. This time I've been clean about 18 months, almost 2 years, and now I got to call y'all in recovery to come and get me. And you know how y'all is. You done did that shit again? Third time, went to jail. We got back together. We stayed together a good little while this time. We got a little house, couple cars and stuff like that. We doing good. Another jarring experience. Because listen, man, when I was little, my first sexual experience was, and I was ashamed of this, my first sexual experience was, I had sex with a girl, and because I didn't have a daddy who told me to how what to do and what to expect, was I thought I peed in her, and I ran home and got up under the covers. And that was a shameful experience. So I had real big issues around sex when I got clean. And I thought if you didn't have sex with me, you didn't love me. If you didn't have sex with me, you wanted somebody else. If you didn't have sex with me every day, that you didn't want to be with me. So she would be working two jobs, and I wasn't even working. Right, and she would come home, and I want to do it, and she'd be like, "I'm tired," and that was rejection. Used to, maybe y'all don't identify with rejection, but rejection used to tear me out the frame, man. Right, so my third time, we moved out. She moved right around the corner. I was like, right around the corner, goddamn, you know, because I didn't transferred obsessions, you know, substituting one for another, two legged dope with your boy in the middle. I'm caught up and shit like that, And so the third time I went to her house, she wouldn't let me in. And so I had all of these clothes, and my daughter was like, "Mommy, run at the door." She's like, "Don't open it." And so I tore all the clothes up, threw them all over the parking lot. She called the police again, destroyed her property, went to jail again. This time they took my little, you know, after about 2 years, you get a little Mr. T starting kit. You're wearing your little matching hats and shit. You know what I'm saying? Your little tennis shoes. They took my stuff, put me in them humiliating orange outfits. You know, and I'm sliding around the jail with 2 years clean, talking about, this some bullshit. I ain't even do nothing. You know, because in our basic text, it says that at some point recovery becomes possible. And we face three disturbing realizations. And one of them is we can no longer blame people, places, and things. Man, I love the basic text. I'm a basic text total. I'm a literature quarter. But I have learned through working the 12 steps that our story, right, gives more meaning to the message than words and literature ever could. Because our stories are stories of hope. Right, I like sharing the basic text, but our story is a message of hope. So the third time, you know, what I did was after the bars went clink clink, I decided that I needed to get a sponsor and do the program. I had 2.5 years clean. Right, so I got a sponsor. I'm gonna take 7 minutes, and I want to tell y'all that what happened for me is this. This sponsor that I got, because I changed sponsor because my first sponsor kept telling me I wasn't ready to work the steps. Nobody get to determine when you're ready to work the steps. Right? Because if you're ready to work the damn steps, then our job as people with clean time is we supposed to fan the flame of desire and not dampen it. Right? So if somebody say they ready, right, then you supposed to get with their ass and get ready to get ready. Right? So my sponsor, I'm good, baby. All right. So my second sponsor, he took me through the steps, and he did something different because I'm one of them smart guys who like quoting the steps. You know, we admitted that, you know, my lies are managed. I know all, you know, when you're new, you quote all of the steps. But I ain't know nothing about living life with spiritual principles. Because I always made decisions based on how I felt. Right? So I had a sponsor to teach me to do not make decisions based on how you feel. Because if you make decisions based on how you feel, you're going to make some very bad decisions. I want to tell y'all that my second sponsor guided me through the 12 steps. And then he decided he didn't want to work steps no more. I love him. He's one of my best friends today. And I changed sponsors. Then I got another sponsor, and if you don't ask the right questions in sponsorship, like, you can, and listen, newcomers, you got a right to ask that person you want to sponsor you some questions, like, what step are you on? Do you have a sponsor? Do you still go to NA meetings? Are you in service? Ask us, right? So I didn't ask my sponsor, and I found out when I got to the sixth step, right, because I like writing, and he was on the sixth step. and he wasn't willing to move forward, so I had to change sponsors again. I got another sponsor, and this is a man, for the first time in my life, I found the right sponsor, because you have the right sponsor for me is a man that will tell me what to do, and I don't say anything back. That's the right sponsor for me, because I question every damn thing, right? And my mother used to always got the last word, you know, always got to have the last word. I'm that kind of guy. And this was a man that had the kind of, you know, Calvin was the kind of man, Calvin was the kind of man that I didn't question him. When I got to my fourth step, we were going to do my fifth step, right? And he died, right? My sponsor died. So I'm telling you, cherish your sponsor if you have one. Don't give them a hard time because you might have to carry them in their coffin. I had to bury my sponsor. And it was difficult. My last 2.5, almost 3 years of recovery, choosing another sponsor. Because everybody I tried to choose, I tried to compare to him. And nobody won't ever be him. Won't ever be him. Won't ever be him. My wife even miss him. Because she said he the only man that quieted me. He had me quiet. He made me gentle. I'm rough. I know I'm rough. Because I'm aggressive. But he taught me how to be gentle. I miss him. Took me a long time to get a sponsor. Got a sponsor. Couldn't keep him as my sponsor. Because I wanted him to be my sponsor. Finally got another sponsor, asked this guy to sponsor me, the guy, man who sponsored me now, he's been clean almost 20 years, and found out that him and Calvin had one day clean apart, and they recovered together. He just like him, he gentle. I just want him to sponsor me to teach me how to be gentle, because I don't want to be tough. All my masks gone, I'm not Tony Montana. I ain't no tough guy. Look, I'm Louise's baby boy. I watch Lifetime with my wife, Young the Wrestler. That's who I am. I don't want to be no big time dope dealer. I don't want to be that. I want to be a father to my son. I want to teach my son how to be a man because nobody never taught me. That's what y'all gave me. Only thing when I stand up here is I give y'all is exactly what y'all gave me. Y'all made me a whole human being. That's what I am. The day I can look someone in the eye and be grateful for who I am. It comes through sponsorship. Man, all that man pride, ego shit, you got to let that shit go in order to get us be sponsored, man. I sponsor 15 guys, man. And some are a lot of them older than me. Right? And they be like, this little young boy can't tell me shit. I'd be like, go out there and get your ass whipped. And then they be coming back, Ron, what I supposed to do? Ron, what I supposed to do? I don't know. I want to tell y'all that I almost wasn't going to come, but I love y'all. I love doing this so much because I'm going on a cruise in the morning. Right? My wife didn't want to come because she said all she wanted to do is wake up and be in St. Thomas. Anyway, I love y'all. Thanks for listening.